Hello, and again, welcome to Bit Depth. I'm Santiago Ramonez. Across from me is Stuart Adams.
Hello.
Stuart, where do we know each other from?
We go to school at the Academy of Contemporary Music in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
We're both production majors. Pretty much done. You're done, like, with your production classes, right?
Yeah, well, I have three other classes next semester, and I'm done.
Right. Yeah, I'm taking two classes at ACM, and then I have more basic classes at UCO that I have to take. Because not looking forward to those. Biology does not sound fun.
I just took most of those online over the summer.
Right. I do so much, contract work over the summer that it's almost like, is it really worth it to take away from what I could do over the summer to take a class?
Yeah.
Or there's a time in my life that is dedicated to a class. So.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
For starters, what do you do?
So I do a few different jobs within the audio community. So I do mixing and engineering for different songs and projects.
Mm-hmm.
I also am a studio technician at school.
Yeah.
And I'm currently trying to get an internship at a studio in Del City called Castle Row.
It's excellent. It's excellent studio.
An amazing
beautiful
studio. It's beyond beautiful. It was one of the prettiest studios I've ever seen. It was one of those ones that you see on the internet where you're like, oh, that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
They just put a bunch of cardboard cutouts up and they took a picture. But no, it's a really, really pretty place. I'm trying to get an internship there. There's that. And then I also do contract work for Life Church.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll run the front of house for their weekend services.
Yeah.
I also do just front of house contract work, or front of house is where you're standing at the soundboard.
Yeah.
And I'll do that for different places for different people here and there. So it's a lot of contract work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much of a steady 9-to-5 job, which is kind of scary sometimes because you'll want to my brain for sustainability is okay, so you're doing this now, but this lasts 4 hours today. And you walk away with a paycheck and then you're done.
Yeah.
You don't get to come back tomorrow and make the same amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to turn around and make this into something that you can not only support yourself in, but looking down the line is how can you support a family later?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Freelance is, have you taken Nick Lay's class, the self-employed artist?
I have not. I need to take that in the fall.
That is quite possibly the most important class regarding money I've ever taken.
I thought you were going to say
ACM. World. Whoa.
I thought you were going to say Freelance World with Scott Keaton.
Oh, no.
We had that class together.
Well, we're on record. what is it that you are working towards?
So I'm working towards just a sustainable career in the music business, which is kind of an oxymoron when you really say it and think about it, just because artists who have been touring for the past 15 years are still touring because they're still needing to make money to still support themselves.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy and kind of bonkers, but that's just how it is.
Yeah.
And so what I'm working towards is finding a spot that I kind of just mesh in and I find a way to make money and support myself and do what I love, because what's most important to me is doing what I love.
Yeah.
Just because I've seen people before me go to college and go to school and they say, go to school for marketing because there's lots of jobs in marketing.
Sure.
And so you can easily turn around and get a job.
Sure.
But at the same time, everybody has a degree in marketing. So does anybody know anything different?
Yeah.
And that's where my brain's just like, no, you need to do something. Do what you love.
Exactly.
And so I decided a few years ago, I was like, I am not going to do anything else but what I love to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I will make my living.
Yeah.
Whether I'd rather be poor, not necessarily poor, but I'd rather be with little mm-hmm. and love what I do than with a lot and
hate your job.
Hate my life. Yeah.
But you're, I feel like being a engineer or whatever, the producer is more of a like background position. Like you're sort of in the shadows. Your name gets on the CD.
Right.
But, you're not really seen other than
right,
that.
Right.
So, I mean, have you ever wanted to like make the music yourself or?
I do occasionally. I actually like to write and kind of create soundscapes. So one of my favorite things to do that I don't really ever do during the semester is like just kind of make music and see what I can get through like a visual aspect of it.
Yeah.
So right now I'm preparing for a youth camp.
Mm-hmm.
That happens every year for mm-hmm. the month of June.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Super Summer. And it's for these students, it's a student leadership camp.
Mm.
And these students come out and it's biblically based. So they do Bible studies and then they do like worship services. But my job is like the creative media of it.
Mm.
So I take video throughout the day and we turn it into a day video at night. We actually have a different editor this year. I was editor for a few years. But we got my friend Noah on as the editor, which I'm really excited about. Because he actually does video production. Like, that's his forte. So, okay. But doing that kind of thing, and because I started with video. Mm-hmm. Everything that I did originally was in video. And so now that I know how to make music and make it good and make videos good, I'm trying to take those two skills and like put them together and create like more with that. And so I'm trying to experiment with how video or how the sounds that I create affect the images that we see. And I find it like a really interesting topic and a really interesting concept that is fun to explore. Just because like one of my projects for Ableton was like I had a spectrograph up and the sound was being affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
Or it wasn't a spectrograph, but it was like that Max for Live object. Kind of blah, 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 did that whole thing. So,
well, let's talk about that. What's the importance of visuals in music?
Well, so, you know how whenever you close your eyes, sometimes you kind of see like colors and the weird like phosphorus kind of, because I think that's what it's called. It's like phosphor images. Mm. I'm not sure. Don't quote me. Could be totally wrong.
The stuff that you see when you close your eyes.
Yeah, the stuff under your eyelids. And it's fun to listen to music and like close your eyes and kind of look at that. And then you kind of get lost in thought
because
you're hearing the music and it's all kind of like happening. Now, I'm not talking like LSD. I'm not like, that's not what I'm into. But that kind of like processing of the music, it kind of adds like a third dimension to it. And so I like to be able to see and add a third dimension to my music.
Yeah.
Just because what I create, I want to be experienced versus just like heard.
Sure.
And so that's why like nothing I've made, I don't put it on Spotify. I don't put it on Bandcamp.
Sure.
Like I typically make it and put it on my hard drive.
Hmm.
And I might send it some friends or I might put like a clip of it on Instagram just because I like to make little video loops and just put it up there. Because I have one that was, I titled Feeling Good. And it was just because like I was experimenting with just a guitar loop and some stock drums. And it just kind of sounds like a It sounds like the title, mm-hmm. the title scene of a movie. It's yeah, just like yeah. this really simple song. Nothing like super special that stands out about it. But then there's also the one that I made recently that I was in guitar lessons with Mitch Bell, and he was like, okay, so I want you to take just single strums and single guitar picks and splice them together and make it sound like you were playing the guitar.
That's cool.
And so the most recent one that I posted was that, where I was like making it sound like I was playing the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And then I added some like really not rhythmic, but sort of rhythmic drums to it. Like there's a pattern, but there's also a lot of it that doesn't follow a pattern as well. So that's something that I really enjoy doing. And
yeah,
I think that I answered your question.
And you've done music videos. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I don't know, sometimes music videos like go, oh, this is exactly what the song is talking about. Or like, what is even going on right now? Right. What does this have to do with right. anything?
Like Bjork makes me think of that. It's like, that's like half of Bjork's music videos. Like, I'm not hating on her music at all. Like, I haven't listened to enough of it. Some of the stuff that I've heard is good. Some of them I'm just like, what? But then she's got one that there's a cat person. And that one just sticks out in my head. And that's just like the representation of, I don't know what's happening in this music video. Mm. I'm okay with it because of Bjork. But and then Campbell, he was on the last podcast or a previous podcast.
Yeah.
And he was talking to me. He was like, have you seen the new video for There Should Be Unicorns by the Lips?
Mm.
And I said, no. And he said, well, you need to go see it immediately. Still haven't watched it. I'll have to watch that soon. I'm interested.
But I mean, like, music videos kind of don't make sense in general.
Right.
They don't make money.
No, they don't. unless you have already sold everything that is you to a label.
Yeah.
But no, they don't make sense. It's like, why do I need to watch you like stage like perform this song when I can just play it on my phone?
And I see music videos as more of just another creative endeavor, like the music itself.
Oh yeah.
So what is it that you do as the like video guy and audio guy to sort of make that less useless?
Okay. Well, I guess I know that music videos are useless, but I've never like thought about it.
Yeah.
And so I think because within the creation process of a music video, like your goal, my goal at least, is to keep the audience engaged.
Yeah.
Because they've already heard the song plenty of times because the music video comes out months after
exactly.
the album. So they've already heard the song. They can sing along to it at that point.
Yeah.
And so what is it that you're going to do now to keep it interesting?
Yeah.
So I call back to an older band called Reliant K. They had a music video. They had a music video for... they have multiple music videos, and that they're all really kind of interesting. They're not way over the top, but there's some like background story that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a song called "I So Hate Consequences." And within this music video, this girl is walking down the street, and every time she stops walking, time stops. And if she walked backwards, time reversed.
Yeah.
Music video gets to the bridge of the song, and she's walking, and she turns, and the step forward causes a pedestrian to be hit by a car. And so she's like, wait, okay, I can control time. I can reverse this. How can I fix this? So she walks back all the way back up to her apartment backwards. Mm. And she takes like two steps to the left and walks the path again. And it changes the whole thing. Like this TV is dropped and like this dude crashes on his bike and he's okay. And everybody else is okay. Mm-hmm. But like chaos happens. But this dude, like his attention gets caught and he doesn't get hit by the car.
Mm.
And so it's just kind of like this weird.
Yeah.
Like, what is the importance of this? And it's like, I get it. Like, I hate consequences and the consequences of this guy that's like not paying attention, gets hit by a car, and then she changes the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you'd never, I would never think, like,
yeah,
I can't say I would never think of that idea to like have somebody like walk and time change, but it was just, that made it interesting.
Yeah.
And I remember that video.
Mm-hmm.
But there's many bands, like the reason Drake's Hotline Bling video was so popular is because it was weird and didn't make sense.
Yeah.
It's like, we get it. This song is about a hookup, like a booty call,
mm-hmm.
but it, he's just doing these really horrible dance moves inside this cube.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
But there's many music videos that I've seen that I don't remember,
mm-hmm.
just because it was just like, oh, they're playing the song.
Yeah.
There's nothing like special to it.
Yeah.
And so I think part of it's like making it special, like making it worth your while to watch.
Exactly.
And I think whenever MTV was really big for actually playing music videos and mm-hmm. not producing shows like Jersey Shore, I think that's whenever music videos were like, okay, how weird can we get to engage the audience, but also make it worth their while to watch it and not confuse them to the point that they're going to change a channel.
Exactly.
And so that's whenever you had like the 80s, 90s, like music videos. And that's why so many music videos were made. It's because they were for MTV.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have Vivo on YouTube. And so you might see it, you might not.
Yeah.
I think the music video is dead.
Yeah.
Personally, which is heartbreaking just because like now I'm just like, okay, I'm ready to make music videos.
Yeah.
But it, like, they don't really help anymore. Because I'm sure Coldplay has a music video for their newest album. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But if we were 15 years backwards, I would, if I was my age, 15 years. Yeah. I'd be like, I would have seen them all on MTV.
Yeah.
Just because that was, like, the thing to do is watch MTV.
Yeah.
Where's my MTV? On my MTV.
That sad death of whatever the M stands for in TV anymore.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Used to be music, but who knows now?
And then as far as like engineering goes, I'm much more on the music side than I am on the engineer side. And so, actually the two podcasts from this one ago mm-hmm. was with, Noah Copeland.
Yeah.
And, he's also a production major, but, he's more a composer like me. And so he sort of stressed how like, oh, well, like you gotta like move the microphone or whatever. He's like, but I want to change that chord. I don't like how that chord sounds. And so like I find that the difference between like engineer and like producer per se is that the producer leans towards the music and mm-hmm. the engineer leans towards the sound.
Right, because we were working on your stuff.
Yeah.
And like that's whenever I realized, it's like, oh, okay, Santiago's brain works like his brain is in the music, which is good. I don't have that. That's why it's so difficult for me to like make music, because my brain is in the production side of it.
Sure.
Like my brain is like, oh, you want this effect at a vocoder, not what can you actually do with your acoustic space to make it sound different, or like what can I do with this chord, because I cheat. I use Ableton Push.
Sure.
And I play the chords triangles.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to, it's all in key. I don't have to know how to play the piano. Even though I like know if sure. I was sat down at a MIDI keyboard, like your MIDI keyboard that I'm looking at right now.
Yeah.
If I sat down at that, I could make a song.
Sure.
It's just going to take me a little bit longer because I'm going to have to sit there and say, okay, whole step, half step. Okay. And find the chords and build them versus.
Yeah.
Actually, because with the push, you just choose your key, choose your chord. Do, and it works. And so, and that's why I love Creation and Ableton and mixing in Pro Tools.
Sure.
But no, most definitely. Cause we would be working on your stuff and you would say, or I would be like, hey, what microphone do you want to use? And you're like, I don't care. Yeah. My brain's just like, why don't you care? And that's just because our brains work differently that sense. I'm more very much left. I'm left brain with a little bit of right brain mixed in.
Mm-hmm.
And you're more right brained.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend's more right brain. I think she's 100% right brain. I think she and I are the opposite. So I'm left brain with a little bit of right brain. And then she's right brain with a little bit of left brain.
Yeah.
And so we work well together because she kind of sees the creative aspect of it. And I kind of get the whole production aspect of it. So.
Sure. But I mean, there is a very important distinction because if every producer were like me, I'm just like, I don't care what microphone, we would not have very good recordings, but really good music.
Exactly. Because you'd have a lot of engineers that are like, well, this is the best microphone. And it'd be like, well, it doesn't sound the way I want it.
Yeah.
Just because it's not about what's the best gear. It's about what sounds the way you want it to. And that's what I had to learn. That's what I learned as of the past year. Whenever I first got to ACM, I was like, okay, so I need to spend $100,000 to buy a console. It's like, no. You create with what sounds good.
Yeah.
And what gets the sound that you want.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's a good balance to have someone like a producer to come in.
Yeah.
And who gets it.
Mm-hmm.
And they can influence the decisions of the engineer, but they can also convey what the artist wants as well.
Yes.
And that's the role of the producer.
Yeah.
Even though hip hop today has kind of changed the role of the producer. The producer is more of both the engineer and the musician and the mixer and everything. Other thing.
Everything but words.
Yeah. And sometimes. Mastering sometimes, which is not bad.
Yeah.
It's a whole new process and it's totally changing the way we're looking at music production.
Mm-hmm.
But the classic version, what we know from the labels from the 60s and the 70s.
Yeah.
And the way the music business has worked up until now, it's been, you have an engineer, a producer, an artist.
Yeah.
And a mixing engineer and a mastering engineer, and they're all different people. They're different bodies and they have their own names. And now it's just with DIY, you can do it all at home because you can get Pro Tools, you can get GarageBand,
you can get
whatever and make. And that's the cool thing about it is now we have things like SoundCloud that you have people who are their own mixing, mastering, and they are them.
Yeah.
You look at Campbell's first album, Love, Lost, and Lobos.
Yeah.
I think I said that name right. I did. And his album, he produced it all.
Yeah.
He mixed it. He wrote it. He played on it. He mastered it per se. And then he released it. And it's good for it being a DIY album.
Yeah.
And then his most recent one, The Universe Part 1, that literally just came out.
Yeah.
It's all DIY. And now that he's learned more on to do better with this gear, it sounds even better, and it sounds like a finished record.
Yeah.
It sounds like a real thing. It doesn't sound like DIY. It sounds like he went to a company and did a recording.
Yeah. So what is And it is like a very broad philosophical question, but what is the difference between music and sound?
So I know there's an artist that has like the whole song. I don't know what it's titled, but it's like 3 minutes of silence.
It's 4:33, John Cage.
4:33 by John Cage. There's an argument that that could be music. This is completely opinionated.
No, I'm asking for your opinion.
My opinion is no, that's not. Just because... I believe that music is like a convey of emotion, mm-hmm. and it's designed to reveal different things mm-hmm. to ourselves mm-hmm. and about ourselves and about others to one another.
Yeah.
Because music has its own language.
Yeah.
Like you have music that sounds happy. You have music that sounds sad. You yeah. have music that sounds excited, and you mm-hmm. have music that sounds angry.
Yeah.
Like some of your four basic emotions. And so, what was the question again?
Sound versus music.
Sound versus music. So, sound design in movies, that is there to convey emotion.
Yeah.
Music, to me, is people. Like I see sound and sound design as just inanimate elements.
Mm-hmm.
But like music and songs, they have their own personality.
Yeah.
Like, they feel like people.
Yeah.
And that's why when people are sad, they listen to their favorite sad song.
Yeah.
It's like they're trying to connect with an old friend.
Sure.
Because they know what that friend is there for, and mm-hmm. so they're going to go to it.
Yeah.
When I feel sad, I don't go listen to like doors creaking and and like rain. Like those maybe are sad rain. Sounds, but but I don't like consciously say, okay, now I want to listen to this because of that. But if I'm upset about something, I'm going to listen to music that mm-hmm. a person has invested their own heart and the pain or the sorrow that they've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I'm feeling happy, I don't want to make it sound like I'm like sad because
yeah.
as of today, I'm not. But but like as a happy person, because I try to be generally happy and try to make sure other people around me are happy. I don't want to bring people down all the time. but like the happy music that I have.
Yeah.
And like different moods, they're all conveyed through different songs. So
yeah.
to me, songs are kind of like people and silence is like a dead person. It's just kind of there. And I also like I need like listening stimulation a lot. So whenever I'm doing graphic design, I'll either be listening to music or I'll have like a TV on with some TV show happening in the background so that there's like something happening.
Yeah.
And my people around me can attest to this. Like I'm okay with silence. Like, but I'm going to fall asleep if it's just silent. That's just what my brain does. Yeah. So like, I constantly need some sort of like mental stimulation, especially with sound. So if I'm driving, occasionally I won't have the radio on, but that's typically because I'm just listening to the road noise. And like I'm actually like intently listening to like what's happening with the road and what's happening in my car. And and that's partly because of my like the mechanic side of my brain is like, you need to make sure there's nothing wrong with your car. And then other times it's just like, it's kind of a relaxing sound. If you've never just driven and listened to your car, you should turn off your radio one time and just drive and listen to your car.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, it's a weird experience, but it's kind of just like, oh
yeah.
Okay. This is kind of relaxing.
Yeah. Unless your car is like really crummy and then you're just like, oh my then gosh, my stressful. Car is about to explode.
Then turn on your music and blast it and forget about all your problems. So yeah, that's just my recommendation.
And then at least last one on this topic, being a engineer, producer, video guy or whatever, is a lot of service. You're being a servant.
Right.
What's the importance of being a servant to you?
So, like, part of my, like, religious background mm-hmm. is I'm a Christian. So, servanthood is, like, yeah. a big element to that. And so, part of the reason why I do what I do mm-hmm. is because I love to make things. I love to make experiences and elements of different projects seem as though they weren't created, but they just kind of existed.
Yeah.
Because whenever I'm working on a project, if I'm making a video, if I'm working on music, mm-hmm. if I'm being the production manager of a live event, sure. if I'm running tech, my brain says your entire job right now is to not be noticed.
Hmm.
Because the second you're noticed is the second you shatter this like glass ceiling that you've, I don't know if that's the right
term. No, glass ceiling is a different thing.
Okay, then erase that. You kind of break the fourth wall at that yeah. point. And so, yeah, it's a lot of service in that just because mm-hmm. I'm not getting recognition. Whenever mm-hmm. you do a big event mm-hmm. for like a church or for a band,
yeah.
at the end of the show, they don't go, thank you to the sound guys. And like the lights don't like flash on the sound guys. And we're just like, oh, and everybody's like, oh, thank you, sound guys. Like it doesn't happen. Like it's yeah. just like, thank you. And then my job is to like turn everything off and like put on some house music or make sure the lights cue at the right time. And then my job is to, while the band leaves, I go and I unplug all the cables and I roll all the cables mm-hmm. and I take all the mics and I put up all the mics and I take down the speakers and I load up the speakers. We put it in the van, get it in the van. We drive to the next place and we get out, take all the speakers out, take all the cables out, take all the mics out, plug them all in, set them all up, get it ready. Band comes out, they play, they leave. We do it all again.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's a lot of service. Like it's mm-hmm. a lot of putting others before me. And that's mm-hmm. just kind of, that sounds super like I'm great, but no, like, that's just kind of how my brain works. Like, so I don't know if you ever looked at it, but there's this website called The Love Languages and there's 5 different love languages. Mm-hmm. There's acts of service, quality time, touch, gifts and words of affirmation. Mm-hmm. And my top one is act of service.
Yeah.
Like my brain is just like, let me help you.
Yeah.
And so that's how I convey love to people and how yeah. I show them that they're important in my life is mm-hmm. by just like doing things.
Sure.
Cause I'm a horrible gift giver. Like, I have to have someone say like, I want this for my birthday. And I'm like, you'll get that. And it's kind of funny because my brother's the exact same way.
But yeah, I'm pretty bad at that too.
It just then you interact with the good gift givers and they're like, we were talking last week and you mentioned that you love this. And so I did some research and I read up on it and I found this that goes with this and here's this amazing gift. Here you go. And you're just like, I got you socks. Merry Christmas. That kind of thing. Anyway, that's the same point. So yeah, what I do like involves a lot of service, but I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love the most satisfying feeling in the world is whenever you put on a show and the show goes great.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hiccups. There's no like disturbances. Yeah. It's just like... That show went so smooth
mm-hmm.
and it takes a lot of prep time. Like you have to spend hours upon hours mm-hmm. setting up. You have to spend hours upon hours designing lights and making sure the right microphones are in the right places and you have enough inputs and all this kind of different stuff. But once it like all comes together, mm-hmm. it's great. A bad example of this would be my brother's release show. Whenever his album came out, I was in charge of all the production for it.
Mm.
And I had gotten everything ready except for power. Like, we thought the house power would be fine, but turns out it was really dirty.
Mm.
And if you don't know what dirty house power is, it's whenever you plug in like a piece of audio equipment or like professional pro gear equipment, mm-hmm. and there's a hum, like a mm-hmm. and it's bad. You don't yeah. want it. So turns out the house power was really bad, like horrible bad. So we had to go get a generator to run all the speakers and the lights off of. And then the power went out.
Yeah.
And we lost in the middle of the show. Mm. We ran out of gas. Generator turns off. We don't have extra gas because I was like so concentrated on other things throughout the day. Yeah. And I totally forgot that generators need gas. But this is an important lesson I learned. And we will never, ever use a generator ever again.
That's fine.
After that show, I was talking to Grant and I was like, so let's not ever use venue that needs a generator again.
Yeah.
Even though this is seriously the venue that he was using was called, it was the Old School and More.
Mm.
And it was so cool. Like, I love this venue so much so that I would really love to buy this venue and turn it into like, and a make place it that nicer. Doesn't
have dirty power.
Yes. Like, clean up the power for it. So I really kind of like, that's actually something that's been in my brain lately. It's just like looking at that venue and be like, I wonder if they'd give me a loan to like if the bank would give me a loan to actually turn this into a cool venue, but I have no idea.
But at least I have like a more transitional thing to be okay. able to go into our next thing, which you already said, but what's the importance of spirituality or religion in your life?
So for me, it plays a really big importance. Like I've grown up with it, and it's kind of my whole life revolves around it, partly because, so in today's day and age within like Christianity and the culture of Christianity, music plays a huge part in it.
Mm-hmm.
And because we have like these big corporate worship services and there's yeah. churches that put on big worship experiences. And so that opens up the door for me as an audio engineer to come in and do that. Mm-hmm. That's kind of off topic. The importance for it for me is there's a hope for the things I do in my life.
Yeah.
I look down the line and I have a reason for why I do things. I have a reason for why I serve people. Mm-hmm. I have a reason for just being an all-around good person. Not that mm-hmm. you can't be a good person outside of that, but like I have my reasoning of it.
Sure.
And so I can look at it and know that I'm doing the right thing because mm-hmm. I'm called and instructed to serve people.
Yeah.
Like with no intention of having like gain out of it.
Sure.
And so that's partly why service is super important to me. And that's partly why my love language is acts of service. Mm-hmm. And it's not like every Christian has to have an acts of service sure. as their love language. It's how we're designed and how mm-hmm. our life events cause us to have different love languages. So, but mine is acts of service just because I know the people who care for me are like my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed me that through making sacrifices growing up to make yeah. sure that I had a good life.
Yeah.
And so I see that and I want to mimic that. I want to contribute to other people's lives the way not only my parents have, but other people
mm-hmm.
in my life, like my grandparents and my teachers and how they've invested in me. I want to turn around and be able to invest in other people.
Yeah.
And make sure that they're that as well. So spirituality is just, it's important because one, it gives me a hope and it gives me a reason for doing the things that I do.
Yeah. Have you always been, this devoted or dedicated?
I grew up in church.
Mm.
And so it's the culture that I've always known.
Yeah.
I haven't known anything else. And I've come across people who have been like, well, you should leave the church for a little bit and figure out kind of what you want to believe.
Sure.
And I've come to the point where it's just like, you know, this is what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't find a need to
mm-hmm.
branch out. And a lot of people would say that's closed-minded, but I'd just
You've
say
been
it's
successfully brainwashed.
I guess you could say that, but just because, I mean, yeah, there's a conditioning part of it. Sure. Like my brain have repeated the same thing over and over and over to the point that I know that like I have an automatic response to something, mm-hmm. but I'm okay with it. Like,
yeah,
I'm not. I don't know. It's just kind of normal to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have had like moments where I've been like in a church service or like in a worship service and just looked around and be like, okay, this is a little weird.
Yeah.
Like what we're doing is yeah. like I'm not by any means just like, no, but like I've looked around and just been like, this is kind of weird.
Mm.
Like if someone just walked in and had no idea what we were doing, they'd be really weirded out. Like we have like a bunch of people in a room with words on the screen singing the same song.
Yeah.
Like it just looks odd, but like yeah. to me, it's totally normal and sure. I know what I'm doing. Sorry, repeat the question.
Well, I mean, have you always been?
Oh yeah. As dedicated. So,
yeah.
So in like junior high and high school is whenever I was just like, do I believe this? Do I kind of, is this what I want to pursue in my life?
Mm-hmm.
And there's never a time where I like stop going to church or like decide that I'm like take time to figure it out.
But sure.
Within my own head, like I tuned out from like, I was just there.
Yeah.
And I wasn't necessarily like listening or investing in any of like the teaching. And so there definitely has been times in my life where I haven't been as connected into it as I should have been, or I haven't been like reading.
Mm-hmm.
Just like as a Christian, I'm supposed to read my Bible every day.
Yeah.
That's a struggle. Mm-hmm. Like I can't sit here and tell you that I do that every single day of my sure. life. And if I did, I'd be lying. And then that's like a whole nother thing in Christianity. But yeah, there's definitely times in my life, there's seasons where I might fall off a little bit and mm-hmm. I kind of get frustrated with myself just because I know what I need to do, but mm-hmm. I don't do it. And that's it's actually a verse that a character in the Bible named Paul talks about. And he says, like, I know what I need to do, but I don't always do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I get frustrated with myself. And so it's like, I do the same thing.
Yeah.
Just because it's a daily commitment. It's like mm-hmm. one of those things. And so dedicated, yeah, my life is dedicated to
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
But there are times where I struggle with actually like dedicated time mm-hmm. and actually putting my best self forward for
sure,
it. Because it's easy to just kind of like show up, sit through it, and leave.
Get used to it.
Yeah. It's easy to kind of, a church term that's thrown around a lot is going through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's easy to do that. It's easy to just kind of like be at church
yeah.
and be around my church friends and say the right things when on the inside I'm like totally struggling with something entirely else.
Sure.
So yeah, it's like it's a daily thing. Mm-hmm. And so like the commitment level has to be the same every day.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating because it's just like, but
how do you deal with like conflicting ideologies in a progressive world, especially in the music industry where, you know, it's like this big party mm-hmm. mentality.
Right. So I'm a Christian and I believe a certain guidelines for mm-hmm. my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so when there's a conflicting ideology, there's not a conflicting ideology. Mm. There's my ideology and someone else's ideology.
Sure.
And if they don't believe the Bible, my ideology has no effect on their life. And therefore, I'm not going to try to push my ideology onto them because they don't believe the same, guidelines.
Sure.
Because a lot of times people within the church describe the Bible as the manual for life.
Sure.
And so if my manual is for a Christian, I can't give a Buddhist my Christian manual and expect them to live by that manual. That's just stupid. You can't use a Ford manual on a Chevy car. It's dumb. Now, do I want them to read my manual?
Sure.
Sure. It's because that's something that I care about, and I want other people in my life to experience that.
Yeah.
Just in the same. But I can't, can't force my ideologies onto other people, and I know that.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, that goes back to the service part.
Mm.
So instead of trying to push ideologies on someone else.
Sure, sure.
I'm just going to be like, well, how can I help you with your life?
Yeah.
I care. I want other people to experience I'd love for everybody to be Christian.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like that takes away from a diverse world.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'd still love for everybody to be Christians because the whole, everything about it. But if everybody was the same, life would be so boring. I love meeting new people. I love hearing what other people's lives are like. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the biggest struggles of me being a Christian in today's world. It's definitely easy for it to be. It's definitely easy for it to be very he's a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to talk to him.
Yeah.
Because we're going to get judged. And it's I'm not going to. I promise. Yeah. My goal in life is to love everyone that I ever come in contact with. Do I have people I don't like? Yeah. And is that a frustration of mine? Yeah.
Mm.
Just because, I am specifically instructed to not do that.
Yeah.
And so, and I'm not justifying it in any way. I have to work on those things. I have to work on people who might have hurt me in my life, looking back and saying, okay, maybe they didn't intend to hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
Life happens.
Yeah.
And I've hurt people, and I have to swallow my pride and say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole ideologies thing, it's very much, I stand in a place where, sure, I'd love for you to believe what I believe, but you don't. Mm-hmm. So therefore, now that that's on the table, let's move on. Let's be friends. Let's go get pizza.
Yeah.
Who cares in the end? So.
What about whenever their ideology is pushing towards you rather than you pushing yours towards them?
Okay. At that point, I really just have to stand my ground. It's stand my ground in a way that's not going to cause conflict.
Yeah. Not like a Texas stand your ground.
Right. No, I'm not about that. But at that point, I've been in conversations like this where someone has just been talking at me instead of listening or talking to me. And so I know the times that this has happened, I have to sit there just because you know me. And if I get frustrated, I'm going to tell you exactly what I think. And that's whenever it's especially a spiritual conversation, I'm just okay, my time is to listen. I don't need to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I want to say something, I know that argument or frustration never leads to a good compromise in the end.
Yeah.
At least most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
sometimes it does, just because like sometimes you have to be frustrated and argue yeah. and like get flesh things out for like a solution to come across. But sometimes it's just you have to make a decision. And even though I might not love to just hear someone else's ideologies, yeah. I know that, or might not love to have someone, I don't know, being dogmatic about it.
Sure,
and
sure.
That's why I try not to be as well.
Yeah.
Because I know that I don't like it whenever the other people are. So
exactly.
Like, why should I be able to do it and other people not?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I'm at on that. I just try to stop and listen and remember that they're in the same boat as I am. They just want me to know what they believe, what they think. And if we all just listen to each other a little bit more, I think we could kind of fix a few of our problems.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because people talk too much and listen too little.
Yeah. Yeah. So. But someone does have to talk and someone does
Somebody,
have to listen.
At some point, people do have to talk. Like, you have to talk. But there's that talking that's not listening as well.
Yeah.
Like, where you're... Or there's that listening that's not listening. I struggle with that. Like, someone's talking to me and I am thinking about the next thing that I'm going to say instead of what they're saying at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And like growing up, my dad would say that to me. He'd be like, he would look at me and be like, okay, I need you to listen to me and not think about what you're about to say to me.
Yeah.
And then I'd just be like, he's right. I'm doing that, but I don't like the fact that he's right.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing that. So, but yeah. And that's something that I know that I do. And I just like kind of beat myself upside the head because of it.
I kind of have to do that sometimes with the podcast.
Right.
So like I'm kind of doing that a lot of the time.
You got to think about the next question. But I mean in more like of an argument kind of thing where two people are like butting heads and they're not listening to one another, but they're still talking.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore then, like, have you ever just listened to someone argue, like two people argue?
Mm-hmm.
Half the statements don't have anything to do with one another.
Exactly.
And it's kind of funny. It's just because both people are thinking about what they're going to say instead of listening. And you're just like, that's why like mediators sometimes like for like arguments, like, people are like, this is a life-changing argument.
Mm-hmm.
That's why mediators can be super important because the mediator can be like, listen, like, you're missing the point.
Yeah, it's like, hey, he just said this whole thing and you just
skipped over it. Like, let's talk about that. Then we'll hit on their point and this kind of thing. So
yeah.
Do
you have a problem with how Christianity and Christians themselves are being perceived?
I don't necessarily have a problem with it. There are a few aspects that I get frustrated with.
Mm.
I think an obvious example would be Westboro Church.
Yeah.
This crazy, very legalistic, very broken people who see gain out of a certain element of Christianity, and they've exploited it, and then Christians get that rap like, oh, they're a Baptist church. I grew up Southern Baptist. Like, I don't walk around cemeteries holding up signs that say God hates fags. Like, that's just not what I do. Like, in fact, I've never done that. We'll never ever do that. Just because that's not true in the slightest. And so media typically picks that up. And so someone who might have never come across a Christian would be like, oh, well, that's how they are. And then they meet me and they're like, oh, well, you're one of those people. It's like, no, I'm not at all, actually. And there's also Christians can be judgmental.
Yeah.
And that's just because, like, me as a Christian, I'm judged by the guidelines that I'm designed to follow.
Yeah.
And so therefore it's easy for Christians to flip that. And I guess, judge other people. Mm-hmm. Not I guess, they definitely do. Yeah. That is something amongst the Christian community that we know that has struggled with. And I think the younger generation of like millennials and 30 somethings and 40 somethings lower have seen the culture of that. It was like a kind of judgy, like nose up in the air kind of culture. And we're trying to change it.
Yeah.
Like, especially within the church community, like there's specific efforts to be like, no, we're not like this. No, we're trying to really just be a loving community. Yeah. That if somebody just needs help, like if somebody just needs help, anybody off the street can come in and we can just talk to them.
Yeah.
And help them out. Like they need food, they need water, they need.
Yeah.
They just need somebody to bawl their eyes out to. Yeah. Like that's who we're designed to be, is someone who we're designed to be, people who can take the burdens of the world.
Yeah.
And help them as much as possible.
Yeah.
And then sometimes though, we get lost and concentrated on ourselves because we're humans and all humans are selfish to some point. Mm. At least I think so. just because I know that I'm selfish sometimes and I'm not perfect because nobody is.
Mm.
But
yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I get frustrated with how we're perceived, but at the same time, if I get so concentrated on how we're perceived, I'll become one of the people who's like outspoken about the rights for the Christian church. It's like, no. Like we have our rights. We have we're fine.
Yeah.
All we need is just like to show the people around us that we care for them.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes people do get too concentrated on how the church is perceived. And so they make an outright effort to make sure the church isn't perceived a certain way. And that's whenever it just like goes sour because I'm not designed to draw attention to myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm designed to just love on people.
Yeah. How would you, describe Christianity in a way that, shows what good it's done to your life?
How would I describe it?
Yeah.
So the good it's done to my life, it's provided me a hope for my future, for one. Because an aspect of Christianity is forgiveness from my sins. Sins being the bad things that I do in my life, outlined in the Bible.
Yeah.
And it's also just kind of like, so there's a forgiveness and there's a hope for my future. And it also provides a community of people.
Yeah.
Just, through prayer and through worship, I am worshiping and and communicating through God. I don't necessarily hear his voice in my head.
Yeah.
but I definitely believe that like through design and through nature and through creation, whether that be God's creation of the earth or like God instilling in me the ability to create music and to create art.
Yeah.
That his design can be conveyed through that.
Sure.
On top of having a Christian community of people around me that I can go to and be like, I am struggling with this. I'm just struggling with depression. I'm just struggling with frustration. I'm struggling with anger. And like sit down and talk to someone. It's like, it's kind of like having a community of counselors that you can go to all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so good. Like I personally am a big believer in counseling that just talking things out with anybody can help just because your brain is like a pit of darkness, if we're real. And just being able to talk to somebody and let somebody else in just makes the world of a difference. Yeah. And I know that I've had that through the community at my church because we have a college group. And so I have multiple like friends who are all in the same age, all going through some of the same things.
Yeah.
Then we have an older guy who's like 3 years out of college.
Mm-hmm.
And he can kind of guide us through all the stuff that we're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can always, like, we'll seek out, if I'm struggling with, like, frustration with jobs, I can go find, like, an mm-hmm. older male in my church who mm-hmm. went through some sort of similar thing where he couldn't find a job per se. And finding that, like, counseling mm-hmm. just is a huge benefit.
Yeah.
Just because talking to people is good.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Just expressing our emotions and expressing our anxieties and our happiness as well. Like, it's not all about, like, talking about what makes us sad, but it's talking about, like, these are the things that I find, like, intense joy in mm-hmm. and, like, immense happiness in.
Yeah.
And it's good to share those, because then other people can be like, oh, that makes you happy. Well, that makes me happy too. We can be happy together.
Exactly.
And so that's one of my favorite things about, like, the spirituality of it and the benefit of Christianity.
Yeah.
So is the community around it.
Yeah. How would someone, what is it that you would want someone to say if they want to reach out to you?
Hey, let's get coffee. I have questions.
Cool.
Like, that's the, like, let's go get dinner. I have questions.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have to be like, hey, I need to know about Jesus. It's like, yeah, okay. If they said that to me, I'd be like, okay, cool. Let's go talk about it. But then, like, somebody's just like, hey, let's talk.
Sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
And if we get there and they're like, I don't feel comfortable talking about this at this point, but like, okay.
Yeah.
Then later to like, hey, let's go get coffee again. Let's actually talk about it. We do. Yeah. Cool. That's what it's about. It's about being human with other people.
Sure.
And like communicating and showing them that you care. Like that is such a fundamental element of Christianity that I think kind of gets glossed over a lot. And it's just showing people that you care for them.
Exactly.
And because your three statements are,
love never fails. It's going to be okay. I might be wrong.
Right. And so like the top one there is just like, love never fails. Like that's super true.
Yeah.
And so that's, you just got to love people. Cause like my two statements as a Christian, or my three statements is love God, love others, and nothing else matters.
Mm.
And those are my three points as a Christian. That's what I live by, is love God, love others, nothing else matters.
Sure.
And so knowing that, it's just like, well, my life is obvious. What I need to do is just love people.
Yeah.
Like, even if I wasn't doing what I am in the music industry and like pursuing this musical career, if I was an accountant, I would still be striving to love other people.
Yeah.
Just because that's my ultimate calling in life, is just to love people.
Yeah.
And so I hope and I pray that I actually am, and that I'm not a horrible person to other people. I don't think I am, but who knows? I could be. But
last thing, what advice do you have for people?
Do what you love. I get so heartbroken seeing people like go to school or pursue a career, or pursue something in life that they don't love. And it's like some of the greatest things that have ever happened in our world are done by people who love what they do. In fact, most, if not all, the great things, like the pinnacle moments of the things that happen in our world today, like if you look at man going to space, or if you look at the discovery of different worlds, or if you look at the movement of civil rights, it's people are standing up for what they love, doing what they love, and pursuing what they love. And so, like, if you love being an accountant, be a freaking accountant.
Yeah.
Love it. Be the best accountant in the world.
Yeah.
If you love being a mom, be a mom. Love on kids. Like, show kids who don't have a mom what it's like to have a mom.
Yeah.
Or if you love making music, make the best music that you can make, because other people will enjoy it. Yeah. Because if you love what you do, other people will love it too.
Exactly.
That didn't mean to rhyme, but it did. And so, like, my advice is love what you do
yeah.
entirely. and then love other people at the same time. So
that's awesome. Stuart, thank you for doing the podcast.
No problem.
Where can we find all of your stuff, or at least the stuff that you've worked on?
You can find, so I have a website. It's Stuart Adams Productions, or Stuart Adams dot Productions. Sorry, S-T-U-A-R-T-A-D-A-M-S dot Productions.
Yeah.
You can Google it. It's like the first or second result. And then you can follow me on social media. Like Instagram is kind of my main social media. It's Stu_Adams_.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a few clips and stuff that I do there. And then if you ever just catch me around, be like, hey, let's go get coffee and hang out. And I'll be like, I'm totally down for it. Cool. Where's the nearest coffee place? Even though I shouldn't bring you coffee because, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, again, thank you. Thank you for sharing with me and coming to my house.
No problem. Had a lot of fun.
You can find all the things that I do on my website, SantiagoRamones.com. I also make music. And I think sometime soon I will be releasing an EP that we recorded for Studio 4. So, Stuart here worked on it. So
yeah.
But yeah, I always end all of my podcasts with my three things, which are love never fails, it's going to be okay, I might be wrong.